This morning I was with Jan Jacobus and Kurt Pott's 50th anniversary. I was going to speak on about marriage. And then maybe, I know I'm not the one with 50 years. I'm getting up to 19 years next month, December 17th. How to remember that. It's like 19 years, it's going so fast. Right? Have you ever bought something that said some assembly required? And you get home and you're like, oh, this can't be that bad. Do I really need the instructions? And what do we usually do with the instructions? Then after the fact, you're like, I can't believe how difficult this is. And then we go through the garbage and look for the instructions. Then we get married. At times, we have this such confidence, think we know it all. Because we have dated this person for whatever length of time. We think we know them. Surprise. Right? We think, oh, this is going to be a cakewalk. They don't come with a manual. That's so hard. You know, it'd be nice if your bride or maybe your groom would come with a little, you know, instruction. So some assembly is required. You know? Okay? Not but done by me, no. I'm illiterate. But however, we got the Bible. We got the Word of God. From beginning of Genesis, how God created marriage, and how He's the one that is what He should be, or it ought to be, for the believer, the central point of our marriage. Right? You think of a triangle, He's at the top, and husband and wives are on the other side, and as time goes on, we should be getting closer to God, and when we get closer to God, then our relationship with our spouses get better. Because sometimes we get married and think, oh, we could change this person. We can't. Only God could change your spouse. Right? I think, you know, Jacoba, you guys probably, and Kurt and Pat. Marvin and Lori, I think, at 46 years. Oh. I was trying to round up. Right? So we have people within the congregation who have known there is some assembly required on both parties. Because we realize how selfish we are. When we come into a marriage, we have our preconceptions of what marriage ought to look like, what marriage should be like. We think we have these high expectations. Then when our spouse doesn't meet those high expectations, then we get bitter and resentful towards them. And we're like, God, why'd you give me that person? Right? Because sometimes we get bitter and resentful towards our spouses. We're like, Lord, how come they're different than how I first met them? Right? We didn't really know them. We thought we knew them. And as we travel together in a journey of marriage, God reveals things about ourselves. So in Genesis 2:24, it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So God ordained marriage right from the beginning. He sees that man needed a wife. Because on our own, we get in trouble at times. A marriage is built over time. Not just in a few days, but it's a decision by decision. You can either build a healthy marriage or you could allow bad habits to stand in the way of doing things God's way. And sometimes in marriage, we have our bad habits, right? And we get frustrated. But as God allows us and God shows us our bad habits and our bad attitudes. And he wants us to deal with it, to surrender those bad attitudes and bad habits, because he wants to change us. So there's this, sometimes could be some friction in a marriage, right? Because it's not a, from experience. But you think about, I think about mentorship within the body of Christ. We have people with many years of experience in a marriage. And they learned a lot, say in 50 years, 43 years, 25 years. And you think, would I benefit from somebody who has been married for so long, maybe show me how to read the manual, the instruction manual, how to be a better husband, or how to be a better wife. Because even the Bible talks about how we ought to mentor, to teach people. Like all of us should be desiring to be mentored. All of us should be desiring to be taught. Right? I've been in a mentorship for 6 years as a pastor. And I have grown so much from that. Mentorship on all so many different levels as a believer, as a follower of Christ, we should be desiring to be taught. Because I don't know everything. And I know that. None of us know everything. And sometimes we think, I don't want my pride to get hurt. Right? Throughout your marriage, you will have difficult times where you both not are going to agree. Every marriage faces conflict because the relationship is made of two imperfect people. And we are being perfected if Christ is in our marriage. He's revealing things about us. He uses your spouse to reveal yourself being selfish, your uncaringness, your pride. But do we want to grow to become more like Christ? Or do I want to stay in my bad habits and excuse my bad habits to say this is why I'm here? And rather than saying, Lord, I surrender all to you. We sung that today. Lord, I come here with open hands. I have nothing. And without the Lord, we have nothing. Jesus asks us to humble ourselves, forgive rather than harbor grudges, and to let love, respect, guide our decisions. We keep God. When you keep God in the center of your marriage, things get better. You will grow in relationships. Your relationship will become more fruitful. And he will show you how he could be a part of the situation and the solution of every issue you have. So man did not invent marriage, God did. When God made a biological male and biological female, it's amazing. I don't want to say male and female. I have to say biological male because people will identify whatever. But biological male and the biological female, that's what marriage is about. And he brought them together. He had a purpose in mind. The basic purpose was that marriage would produce more offspring, that we would teach our children to know our Lord Jesus and to have godly reverence for him. A healthy marriage should be a refuge from the world where couples can find comfort, support, and to grow together as the Lord leads them in their marriage. Think of what we get bombarded every day with. would be come home to a loving marriage and to share your heart, right? That's a perfect marriage. And sometimes we don't do that always. 1 Corinthians 7:28, he reminds us about marriage. 1 Corinthians 7:28 says, it talks about you will have troubles in your marriage. The Bible even tells us we're going to have troubles in our marriage. God knows you're going to have troubles. So sometimes we think, I'm not going to have any troubles in my marriage. My spouse walks on water. And they don't. Right? But even if you marry, you have not sinned. Right? It talks about, nevertheless, such will have trouble. You will have trouble in your marriage. You think about your preconceptions. You think, I'm not going to have any troubles. We can just work it out. You will. Christ is in the center of it. Both parties need to be seeking Christ. Both parties need to have this desire to want to be closer to the Lord. It takes two. Three accord. Christ is in the middle. With Christ in the middle of it, he's a strong tie. Marriage is not just a legal contract. It's not just a piece of paper, not just another human relationship that one can walk away from whenever he wants or she wants. It's a deep, intimate, deeply personal, spiritual companionship rooted in the very heart of God. When you start dating somebody, we should ask ourselves questions. Young gentleman back there. What do you look for in a wife? Does she draw me closer to the Lord? Does she have the same desires as I do? Right? Do we see, we're not always going to see it eye to eye. Even for women. What do I want to see in a man? Does he desire to grow with the Lord? Does he honor the Lord? Does he treat me with love and respect? Does he lift me up? We see a lot of examples, like how do we treat one another? I would write a list. I know Samuel talked about making a list. I wrote a list. Before I got married, I had a list. I was like, see what this one... I had a list. It's important to have a list. You don't settle. God will bring the right person. So companions, help one another. Are suitable, compatible for one another, and are willing, able to share their entire lives with one another, holding back nothing from one another. One definition of a companion is a traveler who walks with you. So you're on this true journey together. And godly companionship means that a husband and wife travel with each other down many different roads throughout their marriage. You guys probably have traveled through a lot of different roads for marriages. I know I have in my short time. Right? Sometimes the road is smooth and beautiful. Scenery along the way is beautiful, amazing. You need a drink in those times. Enjoy that time together. And other times, the road is bumpy, full of potholes. Those times are not the times that you bail out on your companion. Too often, we see marriages breaking up because there is trouble. And they get bitter and resentful. And they say, well, you know what? I'm just going to walk away from this. But God says, you know, trust in me. Depend on me. Allow me to be the center of your marriage, and I will get you through it. You think about the church. God created marriage. We, as believers in Christ, are his bride. He's our groom. And what does the groom want? Well, nothing but the best. He wants us to be pure and blameless, desiring him more and more all the time. This is what Christ wants. We are a picture. And the body of Christ is representing. It's like giving an apologetic. You're defending the faith because of our marriage. Our marriage is full of love and grace and mercy for one another. He unifies two different people to become one. And we fail, but then there's times of just blossoming and growing together. It's a lifetime. Think of, right, what we all have experienced through marriage, those who are married. Think of even after the first, what do they say, the first 2 years? You've been married for 1 year? Is it 1 year? You and Anna, 1 year? It's all honeymoon suite. Oh, yeah, here it gets on the honeymoon suite. But you think about it. The honeymoon stage gets over. But then the real life hits. But treat your wife and husband as though you're still dating. Go on dates. I know we try to go on dates. It's nicer when you have older kids. You can just give the kids to the younger kids to the older kids, and you can take off. Right? So marriage is a covenant between you and God. And at times we forget that. Hebrews 13:4, it says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. We're supposed to keep marriage honorable, pure. So I asked Jacoba, she's about the Messianic church arising. So I took some quotes from that. Because I was like talking about the covenant. So to gain a clear vision of covenant, we require a definition. A covenant is a solemn and binding commitment between two or more parties. So between a husband and wife and God. That's why we get married. We're making a covenant with God. And also, you think about when you get married, you also have people in the congregation who actually say they, because you all would agree, when I would marry somebody, I would say, now, you guys are now accountable to help the married couple to be walking with them, teaching them, mentoring them, come alongside them. We don't just kick them out the door and hope for the best, but be involved. And as the body of Christ, we ought to be involved in each other's lives. Because we don't do this walk, this journey on our own. We can't do it on our own. So a covenant is a pledge of total loyalty. In a covenant, you're identifying yourself with the other person. Covenant is a commitment that goes beyond any other commitment. It is sacred between God and your spouse. When you make a covenant, you're literally giving your life to your covenant partner and pledging to put their needs above your own. Sometimes that's really difficult. A godly marriage is not selfish. Covenant is an endless partnership. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is a covenant relationship. Our first step in a covenant making is always counting the cost. There's a cost. Am I willing to spend the rest of my life with this spouse, with my husband? The cost. Something we don't enter in lightly. I can't just ditch them when trouble hits. Am I going to stick it out with them? So a covenant is a serious decision. It's not to be entered in lightly. It's a commitment. When you enter a covenant with someone, you are saying, I have so identified myself with you that what it is thought, what is true of you is now true of me. I will share in who you are, and you will share in who I am. That was just a little blurb. I just quoted from the Messianic Church of Rising. It's a good, what I've read so far. It's really how important, because sometimes we take a covenant lightly. We take our spouses lightly, right? And to have a healthy and vibrant marriage, we ought to want to grow with them. And so this reminds me, when we receive Christ as our Savior, we yield, we surrender ourselves to Him, that we would conform to the image of His Son. As a believer, our Heavenly Father wants us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8:29, I'll back up the scripture. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, Jesus, might be the firstborn among the brethren." So when we come to Christ, He wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son. And what does that take? Dying to self? Lifting up our partner more than ourselves? Having their best interests more so than my interests. There's some struggles there, isn't there? Because do we do that all the time? Not really. But when we fail, we ask God for forgiveness. Say, Lord, help me to be a better spouse. Help me, Lord, to be a more loving and caring spouse. Lord, help me to be who you desire me to be in this marriage. I want you to be the center of my marriage. Marriage is about the recognizing the uniqueness of your spouse. We have some quirks. I don't know, Jake's pretty perfect, isn't he? Okay. Recognizing the uniqueness of your spouse. So Eve was created uniquely for Adam. No other creature was a suitable helper for Adam, was there? Eve was created just for Adam. She was a helper. She comes alongside him. She was unique that she was created differently. Our spouses are different. She was brought to him in a different manner. And their relationship was different from any other creatures. As you think about in the Garden of Eden, here they are together. God put them together. Right? To procreate. And God walked with them in the beginning. He walked with them daily. So one of the most important things we can do in our marriage relationship is to recognize the uniqueness of the person that God has brought into our lives as our husband or wife. They have qualities, talents, abilities, personalities that make them unique and a special, and they have a different and have gifts that complement you. Because, you know, my wife and I, we're not the same. Your wives, your husbands are not the same. Everybody's different. They complement you in your weaknesses. They compliment you in your strengths. They're not there to really go after you. But they want us to have this intention to grow together. To grow as a follower of Jesus Christ. Too often marriage is seen as a 50-50 proposal. I'll do 50%, you do the other 50%. We don't do that, do we? 60-40? 30-20? No. 30-70? Just do the math. So the truth is that in a marriage, it should be 100% and 100%. Each may giving all themselves to the relationship. When this happens, both spouses are more united. Many of us would do well to remember that God brought Eve to Adam. He brought our spouse to us. Wife, your husband is uniquely yours. He was created by God to lovingly lead you, to provide for you, to be the head of you, as Christ is the head of the church. Husband, your wife is uniquely yours. She was created by God to stand alongside you, not beneath you or behind you, to give you the unique insights and wisdom that she is only able to do. So a believer's marriage is a visible window that reveals the character of Christ to the world. If you want to share the truth of the gospel to those who do not know Christ, people look at the marriages. Right? If you look at stats, the divorce rate in the church is the same as people who do not even go to the church. That's, if you want to believe the stats. Isn't that kind of really makes you question things? Why is that? Shouldn't the church, shouldn't the marriages in the church be flourishing, growing, be more united, unified? Especially when we have our Lord Jesus Christ, who's the head of our marriage, who we say that we trust and depend on, who we say that is the Lord of my life, who we are supposed to be example like him in a way to humble ourselves, walk in humility, not to be boastful, not to walk in pride, but to say, you know what? Help me, Lord, in those areas. Our marriage is used by God so that we both will grow in trust in him. To grow in faith, to grow in obedience to the word, to be sanctified by his word. We recognize that our spouse cannot complete us or make us whole. That's another lie. Sometimes we think our spouse will complete us. They won't. They're going to let you down. Only God Almighty can complete you. Only God Almighty to make you feel secure. Our relationship with our Lord needs to be first. When we have a good relationship with our Father, then our marriage will flourish. Does that, hopefully that makes sense? Right? It's important to know, because if I look to my spouse to complete me, that's idolatry. We're not supposed to have any other forms of any other gods before God. He's supposed to be number one. Our relationship with him. Not your spouse. Not your kids. God. It's supposed to be first. Then your spouse. Because if your relationship with God is good, you will treat your wife and your husband as you should, as the word of God says. Let us remember to grow in our marriage. We require Christ to be center of our marriage. It involves much mutual devotion to Christ, to live in hope in Christ, to grow in intimacy. practice servanthood, humility, and meekness. So marriage is a journey. And I think as we celebrate people who have gone 50 years, 43 years, I think, you know, I just think we could learn so much from people who have experienced life to show us maybe we are doing things wrong. Maybe we're not surrendering things as we should. I don't know, I know every Tuesday we are praying for marriages. Marriage is important. It's God ordained. You think of the onslaught we'll be faced every day in our lives when we are in this world. People are saying that marriage is not that important. You just walk away. But it's a commitment. It is, you're making a commitment. You have made a covenant between you and God and your spouse and also with the congregation to walk this life, this journey, through the good times and the bumpy roads. God will help you. Are we desire to surrender? So I'll finish with 1 Corinthians 13, 4. It says, just, and also the 7. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So, Father, I just pray, as we only touched on a little bit of marriage, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be the husbands that we ought to be, and our wives would be the wives that you have called them to be. And I pray, Father, that you would raise up people within our own congregation to help mentor young newlyweds, seasoned, or long-term people who have been in marriage for a long time, Lord, that you would help us, give us the instructions and just reveal to us where we could grow in and to have a deeper, healthier relationship with our spouses. Lord, I pray for protection, your hedge of protection over our marriages. I pray, Father, that you would protect our marriages. And Lord, as we surrender and yield to you, Lord, that you be Lord of all in our marriages. And Father, I know where we have fallen short, Lord, forgive us for not walking in the godly relationships with our spouses or with you. Forgive us at times when we take them for granted or we've been too selfish and only thinking about what do I get out of this marriage. Help us, Lord, to walk in humility, to walk and trust you and depend on you, to grow in love with our spouses and with you. Lord, our marriages would be apologetic and give a defense of the faith, defense of what marriage, biblical marriage, is all about to the people in this world. How you unify two people, two different people, and unify them to become one, and that they would represent the life of Christ to others. So, Lord, help us to be. I pray for protection over the marriages, Father, that marriages would flourish in the body of Christ. Father, where there's resentment and bitterness, that there be forgiveness and healing and restoration. Father God, that where there's hurts and pains from previously that maybe we don't even know, Father, there be healing from those. Father God, that if there's any open doors in marriages, Father, that they would be closed. Where Satan is trying to poke in and poke and prod and cause division, I pray, Father, that there be unity in the marriage. I pray, Father, that the marriages would be honoring to you. And Father, we thank you that you are the head of our marriages and that you desire to be the head of our marriages. So, Lord, I pray that we would trust you and depend on you more all the time. Thank you for Jan, Jacoba, curtain pad for their 50 years. Father, they so much, but they have grown. Father, let them to be used by you to share what they have learned through their journey. And Father, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name. Yeah.
Some of you may or may not know, but it is potluck today. And we strongly encourage everyone to stay and eat and visit and just enjoy one another, maybe even.